Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
When the walk doesn't match the talk. And that's why I believe Jesus said, I will tell you who it is that loves me. I'll give you the answer key. The one who really loves me is the one who obeys my word. The person who doesn't obey my word, they can say it all they want, but they don't love me. They may have an affection toward me. They may really appreciate the whole concept of dying on a cross, loving them so much, but they don't love me. Because if someone loves me, they'll obey my word. Obedience proves relationship.
How can we possibly follow everything that Jesus commands? If we mess up one time, does it mean He's no longer our Father? The truth is, if we try to obey Jesus in order to have a relationship with Him, we will fail every time. We cannot obey our way into loving God. Instead, we obey God because we love Him. Today, Pastor Troy helps us see that obedience is an important litmus test for determining who our Father is. Who we obey will show the world who has the ultimate authority in our lives. Now, here's Pastor Troy in John chapter 8 as he continues his message, Who is your Father?
They take another jab at Jesus, saying in verse 41, We were not born out of fornication, talking about birth. And relation. We were not born out of fornication. We have one Father, God. Now that was a jab at Jesus because of all of the rumors that Jesus was illegitimate. And so they're bringing it up again, the illegitimate birth that they thought because Jesus was born of a virgin. And well, that's the wrong way to turn the conversation, by the way, saying we have one Father, God. Oh, you want to go there, do you? So Jesus is more than willing to go that direction. Look at verse 42 as we'll get to our paternity test here. Jesus said to them, If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but He sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. So, the paternity test. Okay, let's get our little antennas up now. Is there a way to check to see who our Father is? Well, yes, I think so. Based on Jesus' response here, we can make at least four observations. First, who do you love? Who do you love? Verse 42, Jesus says, If God were your Father, you would love me. So a key sign that God is someone's Father is that they love the Son. One of the first things that you notice about someone who is born again is that they love Jesus. They cling to Jesus. They want to be around Jesus. They want to know more about Jesus. They want to be around Jesus' people. They love Him. In Saudi Arabia, I went to the underground church, and I remember these are individuals who live with persecution. They have to carry Bibles in shopping bags to look like they had gone shopping when they go to church, and then they come to a place that's literally underground, you know, like in a basement or something, to limit sound that might go out because they could be killed. And so they come in and then they, you know, take off their scarf or take out their Bibles and they worship God with a freedom and a joy that is not fake. It's not just an emotional thing. It is a release of thank you, God. And they say, with all this oppression, with all this fear for their life, they still come in and they go, man, Jesus is good. Oh, I love Jesus so much. Oh, Jesus is so... And you're just so convicted because for so many of us in the West, with so much, and no one coming to knock on our door and kill us as Christians, we can forget about him for a day or a week at a time. But over there, they live with awareness that he's there. And when it's time to worship, they won't even wait for a worship team. It's time. They get in. Oh, the Lord is good. Yes. And they're going for it. There's joy, undeniable joy. I pray that maybe the joy of the Lord would be restored to us. That the joy of thy salvation, the simplicity that is in Christ, would be restored to us. We make it so complicated, so hard. What are the rules anyway? I love the Lord. Well, what are the rules on that? Should I lift my hand? Should I lift them here? What about this? Is this too much? Like, goodness gracious. Rejoice. We're indoors. Well, when it's time to worship, it's okay to use your outdoor voice. Let's sing. Let's sing the song. Let's worship the Lord. If we've been saved at all. So who do you love? Peter said this to some who had put their trust in Jesus, and he said this about their attitude toward him. It's 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. He said, whom having not seen, you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So first, who do you love? That's part of the paternity test. Do you love him? You excited about him? Second, what do you understand? In verse 43, Jesus says, why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. See, when you're not his, you're yours. And you have your fingerprints of the enemy and you have your will. And when that happens, he says things, his word says things, you go, I don't get it, I don't believe that, I don't receive that. I don't know that you got to necessarily believe that. You don't receive it. It's not like his word, Father, has spoken. It's like, that's someone's idea. But that's not for me. Do you understand what it is that God is saying to you? Do you understand when the word comes in? It's not important to you when he's not your father. It's not really all that important. Your will is more important. One sign that God is not your father, you don't understand when you hear his word. Now, I'm not talking about difficult passages. I don't understand about the Trinity. Maybe I'm not saved. No, there's some difficult passages. I'm not saying theologically, but you don't get it. God's word is spoken, and it's like, oh, no, 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 no. You're not living it at all. It's like totally opposite of what you're doing, but it's like, oh, no, 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 no. You don't get it. Is God really your father? You know, children understand the language of their father. I have certain things that I can do, whether it be a certain whistle or a certain look or something. My kids understand. Same with any home. They understand the mannerisms. They know what's going on when a correction is taking place. Even the look, you know, whatever that look might be, it's that look that is, I don't want the whole world to know, but I want you to know. That look, well, they know. They get it. And Christians, those who are related to the Father, they know. They get it. They hear. They hear when that voice of correction comes. They hear when that voice of leading is there. They hear it. Jesus is telling them, I'm speaking in the language of my Father, and you don't get it. You don't understand my words, and it's because you're not of the Father. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, it says this, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Have you ever shared with someone the gospel or direction, or, you know, you need to trust the Lord by faith. You need to put your life in his hands. You know, you say those kinds of things and they look at you like, huh? You're weird. I don't know what you're talking about. They don't get it. It doesn't make sense to them. Sort of like trying to describe a beautiful sunset to someone who has been born blind and has never been able to see at all, so that they don't know how to discern color. You can describe blue all you want to. They've not seen it. They don't have the capacity to appreciate it. And that's what happens with the world. They don't have the capacity to appreciate it. This is why a person must have their heart opened by God. All the beating him with the Bible you can do does not do anything. They have to have their hearts opened by God. God has to take them through life and reveal himself in different moments, in different ways. They have to begin to have this collection of, maybe there is a God. Maybe there is. All of these moments for themselves, so that when they have their own revelation of the Lord over time, you come in with the gospel or you minister. And when you minister, they are ready. They're ready to have all of these things brought together and go, oh, it makes sense now. I see God is real. And then their life is transformed. But not your theology. Not your wonderful arguments, not your picture. It's like, you know, an egg. The shell, the yolk, the white part, you know. Like, I don't know if I'm going to follow that faith. Eggs break. Humpty Dumpty was an egg. I'm not going to follow an egg. So they hear the words of the gospel and it begins to make sense, but it's God who does the work all along. Now, he uses you and I, as a piece all along. So they may not come to salvation at that moment, but share anyway. Talk about what God has done in your life anyway. They need those moments so that they can come one day to their own aha moment. I see.
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second part of today's message. So be sure to stay tuned. If you'd like to listen to more teachings from Building on the Solid Rock, we invite you to visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. Pastor Troy has been teaching verse by verse through the Bible for a while. You can listen online to our archive of these messages. You can also download each teaching to listen to later or share with your friends and family. You can even subscribe to the Building on the Solid Rock podcast through iTunes. That way you'll never miss a teaching and you'll be notified as soon as we make these messages available. Find a link to subscribe when you visit buildingonthesolidrock.com. Now, here's Pastor Troy with the continuation of today's message.
So who do you love? What do you understand? Look at verse 44. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Third, what are you doing? What are you doing? In other words, your actions prove relationship, because there is a sense of influence in your life. Just like I would go and break the graham cracker and do all of that stuff, showed that is clearly Lonnie's son. Clearly. It's not faking this one. Well, the same thing is true in our life. Clearly, that's a child of God. You can see it. There's something that can be seen. That's what James was saying. You say you have faith. Even the devil has faith. But let me tell you, show me your faith without works or deeds or lifestyle or the DNA, and I'll show you my faith by the way I live, what I do. You'll see it. You won't have to ask. You'll know. Have you ever noticed or have you heard someone talk about how much they love God? I love church. I love God. I love the Lord. But then you look at their life and their life choices and you go, you don't do anything God would have you do. It's very confusing, isn't it? It's confusing for the people who watch. There is no light. There is no likeness. It's confusing when the walk doesn't match the talk. And that's why I believe Jesus said, I will tell you who it is that loves me. I'll give you the answer key. The one who really loves me is the one who obeys my word. The person who doesn't obey my word, they can say it all they want, but they don't love me. They may have an affection toward me. They may really appreciate the whole concept of dying on a cross, loving them so much, but they don't love me. Because if someone loves me, they'll obey my word. Obedience proves relationship. Now, obedience does not produce relationship. What I mean is you can't say, I'm going to obey, 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 and I'll have a relationship with the Lord. No, no. The obeying happens because you have a relationship with the Lord. I love him. I appreciate him. God is good to me. And so, of course, I want to obey him. My flesh doesn't want to do some of those things. Just like my kids, I know they love me. I know they want to honor me, but there are times they don't. It's because they have a rebellious streak, and I want this. And I'm not thinking about my father as much as I'm thinking about me. So we get into trouble with that mindset, not thinking about the father, but thinking only of us. So obedience proves relationship. You see, his children are to be lights, right? He said, you're the light of the world. Well, no one is going to follow that light, the light of a Christian, or who's someone who calls himself a Christian. They're not going to follow you for direction if you seem lost yourself. Like, why would I follow you? And so there's a sense of confidence in the life of a believer who's following Christ. Where is it going to take me? I don't know that part, but I do know this. I'm confident that I'm in the Lord's will. I'm going to follow him. I know it's going to end me up in heaven. That's all I know. And I'm going to become more Christ-like. And I'm going to learn some traits of the Father. But other than that, I don't have all of the answers. God does. Now look at verse 45. So who do you love? What do you understand? What are you doing? We'll get through this fourth one kind of quickly. Verse 45. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? Who can blame me from something? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. Finally, fourth. When do you listen? This is an important one. When do you listen? My children will listen to lots of people. You shouldn't run across the street. It could be a neighbor. It could be anyone. It don't have to be related to me. And they'll go, you know, that makes sense. I won't. But when there's an opposition and I am their father, I'm the father, they're not. Will they listen? Now, to a stranger, I tell them, hey, you don't listen to strangers. Hey, come over here. No, you don't listen to strangers. You don't trust them. You be where I tell you. You stay in the confines I've told you, within the parameters, and you listen to me. So when do you listen? Are the only messages you think that are anointed of God the ones that are positive, uplifting, and encouraging? The ones that make you go away going, I feel like a better person. I didn't change a thing, but I feel better. Those are the only anointed messages. I'm going to tell you this, guys. There are some who think that way. I've run into them. They say, well, you know, this ministry, not the church, women's ministry or whatever it might be, this ministry is not serving, I think, its intended purpose, God's purpose for it. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, you know, it should be uplifting and encouraging. And I understand we don't want to, you're sinners, you're wicked, you deserve nothing. God bless you. See you next time. And I understand that, yes. But if all you want is just to feel better about being the you that you are now, I don't think that's ministry. That's a support group. So the church is not a support group. God is your support. Church is the dispenser of truth, the light of the world. When we look around, we find out how we're supposed to live. And sometimes we're supposed to be the example of that. You see, a hardened heart resists the word that pierces. It's easy to enjoy when the message agrees with you and talks about others. Oh, yeah, when it talks about others. We love it. This is a good church. And Hunt, did you hear that, honey? I've been telling you that for years. And then that's, I love this pastor. Until the next week, when the wife says it to him. Did you hear that, honey? I don't like this church. This pastor doesn't know what he's talking about. We're still checking out churches. On the day of Pentecost, many were cut to the heart and they were repentant. However, during Stephen's speech, many were cut to the heart. They turned and killed the messenger. It was the condition of the heart. It's been said that if you throw a stone into a pack of dogs, the one that yelps is the one that was hit. So, when the stone hits you, what do you do? Do you go, oh, the woman caught in adultery. You don't throw stones. Don't throw stones. Hey, that's true. You don't throw stones. You can't tell everybody else what to do. We need to teach them through the scriptures not to throw stones. But when a stone does hit you, Jesus said to the woman caught in adultery, who condemns you? No one condemned her. And he says, neither do I. However, I acknowledge you sinned. Now don't do it anymore. Go and sin no more. So when the stone hits, very often it's because there's something there. We can't just dismiss it. Do we listen when the word of God pierces? No matter who said it. In fact, what do you look for in a Bible study? Is it knowledge? I want knowledge. I want to know more. Tell me about the tabernacle. Tell me about the cloth used. And, you know, show me the pictures. I want knowledge for knowledge's sake. That's the kind of knowledge that puffs up. What about, I want a Bible study that will fix my family. I want a children's ministry that will really teach the kids and make my kids behave. Or do you really want to know the Lord? Do you want to know the Lord for yourself and how your relationship with Him ought to be? Because that's what the Word of God will give you. And it'll pierce at times. But it pierces so that we can be closer to Him. So who's your father?
Who is your father?
Who is your father? The great influence in your life. Who do you love? What do you understand? What are you doing? And when do you listen? The devil is real. And he seeks to deceive. God is not the universal father of all. We're not all God's children. But the devil would love for us to find comfort in believing in that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, those whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Maybe in light of this study, you realize, wow, I don't have as much DNA as I thought I had of the Lord. I want to grow more. Or maybe you realize you don't pass the paternity test. You don't listen. There's a reason to give thanks today. The thanks is this. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. All you have to do is open your heart and believe. Trust Him. Don't theologically believe. Listen. Listen for Him. Right here, right now. Respond to His voice. Those who know Him hear His voice. And they follow. Just listen.
We're so glad you joined us today for Pastor Troy's teaching in the book of John. If you'd like to hear today's message again, visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you'll also find an archive of previous messages from Pastor Troy, as well as information about this radio ministry, Building on the Solid Rock. You might be interested in the church behind this ministry as well, Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to meet you and have you come be a part of our weekly services. For the latest service times, please visit our website. You'll find a link to Calvary Chapel Solid Rock at buildingonthesolidrock.com. From all of us on the production team at Building on the Solid Rock, we'd like to say thank you for tuning in today. We pray you continue to seek God during these times of uncertainty and that you explore what He wants to teach you in His Word. Join us again as Pastor Troy continues sharing from the Gospel of John on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us.
Come have.